The following program is rated TV-MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
You get.
Oh, hey, by the way, that song,
I will be your father figure. I will.
That's about grooming.
The sea of drugs. I wanna tell you just how much I drugged you.
Bill Cosby, you dirty dog, you.
Do you believe in life after drugs?
You could do that to any song with the word love in it. I don't know why I'm sharing that with you. Anyway, I was thinking this morning, and just how stupid people are. And I don't mean to be brash or abrasive, and I apologize in advance if you're offended by that. But, you know, people have said it. I don't know how many times I've heard someone, people are fucking stupid. People are stupid. Fuck, people are stupid. Can you believe how stupid people are? Never underestimate the predictability of stupidity. Wasn't that Bullet Tooth Tony? But yeah, you know, it sounds harsh, but again, as a satirical social scientist, I've made the observation in a number of environments that human beings have a tendency to act intellectually deficient. But, fuck. Sorry. I opened up a new thing of coffee and it is fucking... hasn't been stepped on yet. I got the Joe Biden grade coffee today. Christian crack. Sorry. Okay. Pump the brakes. Calm down. Here's what's going on. Back when I was in the United States Navy, fucking tweaked the shit out of my right shoulder and was on what was it, limited duty and then light duty over like a 6 month period, and it was all to avoid invasive shoulder surgery. These doctors, these surgeons were like, yeah, you know, if you could just not use it for like 6 months, it might recover and we won't have to put a fucking 12 inch long crescent shaped scar across your fucking mountainous deltoids. So yeah, I had to wear my arm in a sling, and it was fucked up, man. It is what it is. They basically gave me a field tourniquet, a green field tourniquet to wear because it fit my uniform. You know what I mean? Yes, it was kind of embarrassing, but I did it. But one funny story that came from it was, out there in Hawaii, you've got Ford Island out in the middle of the harbor there. That's where the Arizona Memorial was moored, and the other ships, and I should say the USS Arizona was moored there, and that's where the memorial is now. And that's also where there are a number of departments out there, one being the Navy brig. So we used to ride the ferry over. Pedestrian traffic and vehicles would shuttle you back and forth over to the island. I don't know how it operates now. But anyway, we're down at the ferry landing one morning. I think there was like four of us. Me, my dude Ray, the Navajo, our NCO, this tall, light-skinned brother that looked like Will Smith, and this other brother from Michigan. And the four of us were standing there waiting for the ferry, and I had my arm in the sling. And I just, it was like my first week operating like this, trying to effectively operate. And, when they gave me this order, like, you know, here you go, here's your medical order, you know, you're officially on limited light duty, whatever. But you have your right arm in the sling. So me being me, I immediately went to Navy regs and started looking, and it clearly states that if your right arm is incapacitated, you can salute with your left arm, your left hand. And in fact, if you're supposed to, rather than not rendering a hand salute, if you have something in carrying in your right arm, if your right arm is incapacitated, you are to salute with your left hand if it isn't incapacitated. So now here I am on the fucking ferry landing, and I'm pretty sure I was the junior of the four at the time, and we're waiting for the boat, and fucking colors goes off. So we all snap to attention and render hand salutes, turn towards the flag and render hand salutes, and I did a left hand salute. And there are other people, there are like the four of us standing there and all these other Navy personnel and people ready to go over. And, you know, everyone in uniform is at attention, is saluting the flag as colors is going down. And then my NCO's like, you know, he addresses me and goes, put your fucking hand down. And I replied, negative. He goes, put your fucking hand down now. And I go, negative. I said, Navy regs clearly indicates that I'm to render a left-hand salute if my right hand is fucking incapacitated. And he was like, I don't give a fuck. Put your fucking hand down. And I go, negative. And I just stood there. And then Ray, my dude, he like put his right hand down and he started giving a left hand salute. And then, oh shit. And then the NCO is going, Ray, put your fucking hand down. Fucking people. You know, all these other Navy people were standing around going, my God, look at these fucking goons. They're about to get in a fist fight during morning fucking colors because this idiot is saluting. Now there's two of them saluting with their left hands. Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, I didn't get in any trouble for that. Nothing came from that. But anyway. So yeah, when I got put on limited duty, man, I found myself with a lot of extra time that I couldn't spend in the gym. So I found something constructive. As a matter of fact, I believe it was an E7 in my chain of command that was like, hey, you ought to think about coaching Pop Warner football. It's like, wow, that's a good idea. It was just around that time of the year. So I called up the Navy, MWR, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation, said, hey, do you need any coaches? And this guy goes, nope. I go, really? No shit? You don't need any volunteer coaches for your youth football program? Nope. I go, okay, cool. Hung up the phone, called Army, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. You need any coaches? This guy goes, when can you be here? I went down there, signed up. I watched a training video. I signed up. I think it was like a $1 million liability insurance policy. And then he went and introduced me to the Pee-wee head coach. And for one, I did it for two seasons. For that season, I coached this Army team, but there were other, it was, you know, in the Army housing. So I believe there were other branches that dependents, kids of other branches, but for the most part, it was Army. So yeah, that was really rich and rewarding for a couple of years. And, but after that season was up, I still had, you know, some a couple of months that I couldn't do push-ups or lift weights or anything. So at the time, man, I was hanging out at, well, not hanging out, but I used to frequent the shop at the local shopping center called Merle Harmon's Fanfare. It was the only place I could find back in the early 90s where I could get officially licensed products, like fitted New Era hats. Those weren't available just anywhere. You had to order them online or go to a place like this Merle Harmon's Fanfare. So one time when I was in there picking up my gear, various, you know, when I was into that type of thing, younger, and I got to talking to the manager and asked him if he needed any help. And he got, pulled out an application and slid it across the counter. And, you know, we were talking and I was going to take it with me and fill it out, bring it back later. And he wasn't real busy. And after we, you know, spent 10, 15 minutes conversation, he goes, I tell you what, man, he goes, you just go ahead and fill that out real quick and sign it. You're hired. If you want to, you could start tomorrow. And I went, perfect. So yeah, a lot, man. I got some really good stories that come. I ended up working for him even when I healed up and until operational commitment dictated that I had to resign my position there at Pearl Harmon's Fanfare. But man, I had made some really good, partied with Raiderettes, met NFL players because it was Hawaii. So during the Pro Bowl season, that was a big deal back then. It was, you know, that particular store. We had an event like every night of the week. One night we had the Raiderettes there. The next night it was, I believe, Rich Milano, a University of Hawaii football player that played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He came and signed autographs. The next night it was Mark Tuina, former Dallas Cowboys left tackle. May he rest in peace. Another Hawaii guy. But, excuse me. So when this started happening, when we started having these events, and there was the manager, the assistant manager, there were other guys I met. There was this other dude I partied with that worked there named Bill. He was a Navy guy, and he and I had some pretty fun times partying together downtown after work and shit. But the manager came to me and said, listen, when we're having these events, I'd like you to act as a concierge for the guests. So rather, you know, no sales or merchandising or anything, you set up the table, monitor the interactions with the people if they need anything, and most importantly, I want you to provide security. And I go, perfect, suits me well. Here's the story I'm getting to. Jay Novacek, I believe he went to Wyoming and then was drafted by the Cardinals and then signed or traded to the Cowboys, and he was the starting all-pro tight end for the Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, okay? So today's scope, it would be like Gronk, basically. So Jay's coming that night, and I'll tell you this, other than the Raiderettes, that was the biggest crowd that we drew. There were so many people, there were people lined up along the side of the store, and it queued up in front of a table that was there set up waiting for him to come sign autographs, and then we had to control it, break him with ropes, and then start him again along the railing on the opposite side of the concourse. So then there were hundreds of people. They went all the way down the railing towards the main anchor store at the end of the mall. hundreds of them lined up for like an hour at least before he was supposed to be there at 7 p.m. or whatever it was. And yeah, it was mayhem, and people were coming in buying shit and getting back in line, like, you know, buying Cowboys gear to get autographed. I mean, it's a beautiful marketing model. So I'm doing all kinds of shit, and I was back behind the counter at the time doing something in the background as the register was operating. And I just happened to stand up and look, and there was Jay Novacek standing at the opening, the front of the store, with his wife looking towards us. And I saw him, and I dropped what I was doing and scurried around the counter and came walking towards him. And I said, "Hey, welcome, Jay." And when I said that, everyone in the fucking store turned and looked and went, "There he is." And to top it off, he had came from the right. So he had walked by all of those hundreds of people, turned and came into the store, stood there for a moment with at least, I don't know, 15 people lined up anxiously waiting to meet this guy and get his autograph, and none of them recognized him. But I did. As soon as I saw him, I was like, "Fuck, that's Jay right there." Like, I would have think I would have heard the crowd reacting to him as he was walking along. Him and his wife were just strolling along. He had on like a Western shirt. I almost positive he had on a pair of jeans and cowboy boots. And he was only like an inch taller than me and maybe 10 pounds heavier. I remember thinking, damn, that's NFL size? Now, Mark Tuanay, on the other hand, that dude was a beast. Yeah, he had plenty of Polynesian in him. I remember I shook his hand and it felt like he could have easily broke. I just crushed every bone in my hand if he wanted to. It's like when I, you know, shake one of my little nieces or nephews' hand, childlike. It's like, wow, you know, that wasn't Jay. But it, again, you know, and it's the sport, they wear helmets and, you know, all of that and everything. But again, that is the mentality, the herd mentality, sheep mentality. I don't know. I just have never been able to get over that in the, you know, 30 years that it's been, that there was a throng of people that were even going and purchasing merchandise to get this guy's impulse purchases to get this guy's signature on it so that they can go and say, "Look, I met Jay Novacek. I didn't know what he looked like until I met him." Who's he play for again? Right? Where'd he go? Where'd he go to school? I mean, and maybe it's harsh saying that people are stupid, but what is that? What is that? And I was talking to a really good lifelong friend yesterday, and I was giving him some background on when I was in school 6 years ago and the way I observed how these students don't read the directions, you know, and he had mentioned in our conversation, you know, yeah, the Bible is pretty much a textbook for what's going on right now. And I concurred with him on that. I go, that's the thing. It's like people are so surprised by this. Like, what the hell is happening? They're lost. They're confused. They don't know where to go for guidance. They don't know where they go for good information. They don't understand why people are lying to them like this. They don't understand why they're being betrayed on a deadly basis by institutions and personalities that they had invested in. But yet the Bible is like, oh, this is all going to happen. And when you find out why it's happening, your brain is going to melt, your heart's going to stop. And if you survive that, then you're going to see some of the most hellish shit that you could ever not imagine. Have fun. Good luck. What a time to be alive, right? You know, so me, you know, when we were having this conversation, I was like, yeah, I go, these are the people that don't read their textbooks in class. These are the people that don't read the directions to a product they buy and then take it back and demand a refund because it's not fucking working. These are the people that call up to IT bitching and complaining and wanting a refund on the brand new computer. And the fucking very first question that the IT support has written down on the top of their fucking checklist is it plugged in? Yes. Is it turned on? Oh, sorry. Okay, thanks. Is there anything I can help you with? See what I mean? There's a reason for that, because people are fucking stupid. There's a reason why it says on the top of a McDonald's cup of coffee, hey, this shit's hot. It might burn you. So if you set it between your fucking legs right next to your fucking old cooter and your daughter hits the speed bump on the way out of the fucking parking lot, we're going to have to give you $1 million settlement and put a fucking disclaimer on the top of a fucking coffee cup. Woo! As I told my friend, I was like, yeah, I'm sitting in this advanced psychology class that has been dumbed down to be an easy A because it's a prerequisite for the advanced accelerated nursing degree to get those aspiring nurses out there into the industry and their profession, which with what should be the passing of an advanced psychology course, it was actually just a cakewalk for them. And they didn't even read the fucking book, you know? But as I told him, I was like, fuck, I would have been better off, you know, rather than trying to, I would have been better off staying autodidactic and not involving myself in academia, because it just made me realize that those are fruitless, worthless fucking degrees, man. I mean, look at Biden. Joe Biden is an attorney at law, licensed attorney, and he's never argued a fucking case, never defended anything, man. All he does is just molest law and leech off of it, that kind of shit. And these, right now we're coming to a back, we're being reverting back to the dark ages, where if you're not resourceful and you don't know how to work with your hands, then good luck surviving on a non-functioning electronic device that won't summon food to you to be cooked and delivered and chewed and spit into your fucking mouth, you know? Yeah, if you don't know how to garden or fish or hunt like your boy Timmy! Tim Pool. I remember when I stopped listening to that twerp. I used to watch him on YouTube, and especially BitChute, because to his credit, the comments section was fucking off the chain. I love the way people would just go in there and rip on him. You know, Timmy! Busting on him about his beanie, fence riding, and blah, blah, blah. But I completely disassociated with him when the riots first started happening and people were fleeing the cities, and he was up in New Jersey at the time, I believe, and he said something to the effect that people are fleeing the cities and going to the lakes. That seems pretty stupid. There isn't any food at the lake. And that's when I thought, there you go, that's where we're at as a society. Where a dude that makes a living as a podcaster and an independent journalist and a freelance investigator and professional fucking fence rider and you screw YouTube tit sucker is telling his millions of listeners that going to the lake is fruitless in search of food. There's no food at the lake. You can't fish and catch fish to eat, and you can't scurry around for crawfish or clams or or even, you know, set a snare to capture a squirrel or some other type of furry creature that is as protein based fucking, you know, like a Hey, Tim, that squirrel has like fucking 50 grams of protein, man. You can add it to your smoothie.
TDC Poolcast IRL, like, share, subscribe.
It's outrageous. I don't care what your position is. It's outrageous. And it's dangerous.
Fuck you, sir.
What's the trick?